So if there are any of you out there who listen to Bishop Robert Barron on the Word on Fire show, he has a very interesting podcast, and it's called The Metaphysics of Prayer. The Metaphysics of Prayer. And basically what that podcast is about is that it answers the basic questions we all have about prayer, because we all pray and we all have wondered, what is prayer in the first place? How does prayer work? And what am I doing when I'm actually praying? Bishop Barron goes on to teach that it's part of the nature of God to be unchanging. God does not change. And so in the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And we're also reminded that God is all-knowing, omniscient. And so Jesus says in the gospel, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so when he brought up those things, a lot of questions came to my mind. So when we pray, we're praying not to change God's mind, right? We hear that in our first reading, right? It sounds like Abraham's trying to do some divine haggling, divine bartering, you know? But that's not quite what prayer is about. What that first reading demonstrates is that we need to pray persistently, but also to pray humbly. Okay, so prayer is not about changing God's mind. And we're not praying to make known to him our needs because he knows them already. Okay, then why should we pray at all? It seems like there's no point in praying if we're not changing God's mind and he knows what we're going to pray for. So why do we pray? And that's the question I want to focus on for today. Why do we pray? You know, despite all these things that we've heard about, Jesus still encourages us to pray in the gospel today. Jesus himself prayed, as the scriptures attest, and he encourages his disciples all to pray persistently. So in the gospel today, he uses the type of argumentation which proves that the lesser statement is true, that if the lesser statement is true, then the second statement will be true. So we use kind of in our life as well. If you think Elbow Falls by Bragg Creek is beautiful, then imagine how much more beautiful Niagara Falls will be. If you thought climbing Ha Ling Mountain by Canmore was difficult, imagine how much more difficult it would be to climb Mount Everest. And so this type of argumentation is used in philosophy. It's called the a fortiori argument. And so Jesus says in his parable, look, even if your friend is not willing to get up in the middle of the night to give you a piece of bread because of his friendship with you, he will at least give you the bread because of your persistence, because you annoyed the heck out of him in the middle of the night. Therefore, how much more will God respond to your needs if you ask him persistently? Not because you annoyed him, not because he's your friend, but because he is your Father. However, when Jesus tells us to be persistent, it still doesn't really solve our issue of why we should pray. Does Jesus want us to be persistent because God's playing games with us? Is God just waiting to see how much we really want something and then he gives it to us? I have a nephew and he loves cars. I'm sure his first word was, car. Then his second words were, mommy, car. But imagine he comes up to me and says, uncle, can I get a car? And so, being a good uncle, I get him a 2019 deep pearl blue Nissan GT-R V6 fully loaded, 600 horsepower with no NOS capability. So I hand him the keys. What's the first thing he's probably going to do? He's probably going to start eating those keys. And after a while, after he bites on the button, he realizes that these keys are for the car. And if he can even reach the car door and tries to open it, he'll struggle to get into the seat, and then he'll pretend like he's driving for a few minutes if he can even reach the steering wheel, and he'll probably take a nap and then get out of the car and walk away. In some cases, we may experience a delayed prayer, maybe an unanswered prayer, because sometimes the gift God wants to give to us is greater than our ability to receive it. In fact, God wants to give us the gift more than we are ready to receive it. Think about that. God loves us so much. He wants to give us the gift more than we are actually ready to receive it. And so sometimes we want the gift, but we're not ready for the magnitude, the greatness of the gift. And so St. Augustine explains why we need to pray very well. He says, if you want to fill some sort of bag, and you know the item that you want to put into the bag is bigger than the bag, what do you need to do? Back in the day, what they would do is they would stretch the bag so that you could put the item in the bag. The bag was big enough to fit the item. And so he says this, in the same way, by delaying the fulfillment of desire, God stretches it. By making us desire, he expands the soul. And by the expansion, he increases its capacity. One of the reasons God desires that we pray persistently is so that we can expand our hearts to receive the greatness of the gift. Just like my nephew who is not ready for the Nissan GTR, sometimes, in some cases, we're not ready for God's gifts. It's like God saying, I know you want this gift, and I want to give you this gift, but your hands are too small to receive it. Your heart is too small. So I want to stretch your heart. I want to stretch your hands. And so prayer for St. Augustine is essentially an exercise in desire. Persistent prayer is about opening our hearts, stretching our hearts even wider for the gift that God wants to give. You know, 16 years ago when I first desired to be a priest, I said, man, I was like my nephew. I wanted it, but I wasn't ready for it. And so this 16-year journey has been a journey of desire, just so that I can begin to receive the gift of the priesthood, which I will need to unfold for the rest of my life. This explanation works in certain cases of desiring certain things, like a new job maybe, or a future spouse, or overcoming a particular sin or vice. But in the cases when someone is sick or dying, and we are praying, isn't it clear to God that this is something we truly, really desire? That we desire the health and well-being of our loved ones? I was listening to Catholic Answers on YouTube, and a lady named Carlene called in. She had a 22-year-old son who had colorectal cancer. It's a cancer in the bowels. And she had thousands of people praying for him in Ireland, in Rome, in the USA, everywhere. And candles were lit everywhere for this child. In July, his condition got worse and worse until September when he passed away. And so this mom is in tears on the phone saying, I had people doing rosaries, doing everything we could do. Where does God fit into this? Where does the power of prayer fit into this? Because we had so many people praying for this kid. And so the doubts or question might arise in Carlene, such as it may arise in our minds as well. Does prayer even work? Yet Jesus responds even to this objection. He says, Jesus uses the same type of argument that he used before. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish or an egg, will give a snake or a scorpion instead? And the obvious answer is like, of course not. We wouldn't do that if our child did that. And so he says, if you earthly parents give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? This is a key point. Because Jesus is calling us to trust God in our prayer, to trust that he is a truly good father. That's why when the disciples ask him how to pray, what's the first thing he tells them to pray? He says, when you pray, say, Father. We aren't just praying to an unchanging, all-knowing being. We're also praying to a father who gives good gifts. We need to pray over and over again Because we need to be reminded over and over again that God is our Father. And if we know that God is our Father, then nothing can shake our faith. What may seem like a snake or scorpion in our life when we ask for fish or bread, what may seem like an unanswered prayer, intolerable suffering, we know that it will work out for the good, as St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. When we trust that God is our Father, then we begin to trust that there is a plan that is greater than what we can see. This is an example that Padre Pio gives that you may have heard before, that we're like children who are sitting at the feet of our mother who's weaving an embroidery. All we can see is the backside of the embroidery, and it looks like it's an absolute mess with no patterns. All the colors are mixed up. It might seem that it makes no sense at all. Likewise, for us on this side of eternity, all we can see of God's plan is that it seems like a mess. Like there's no patterns and it doesn't make any sense. But when we get to heaven, when we see the other side of the embroidery of his providence, we will recognize that his plans for us and those we love were for good this whole time. And we will praise him for his majesty for all eternity. So to conclude, why do we pray? We pray because we need to stretch our hearts to receive the good gifts our Father wants to send to us for our good and the good of the whole world. Ultimately, we are stretching our hearts to receive him in all his majesty. But when it seems like he is giving us snakes and scorpions, let us look to the cross. Let us be reminded of what Jesus taught us. Let us be reminded how the cross teaches us that he can turn snakes into fish, scorpions into bread, death into life. And when it seems like all is dark, let us pray like Jesus did, trusting like a child that God has a plan that even though we don't see it, we can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.